Leviticus chapter 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. The holy convocations which God is about to list are, number one, the Passover, which pointed to the crucifixion and death of Jesus on the cross. Number two, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is being fulfilled in the fellowship that we enjoy with Christ right now because of his death on the cross. Number three, the Feast of First Fruits, which was fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. Number four, the Feast of Pentecost, which pointed to and was fulfilled at the beginning of the church age on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into believers. Number five, the Feast of Trumpets, and that's going to be fulfilled when Israel is brought back into the land by God. Number six, the Great Day of Atonement, which was fulfilled with the work of Christ on the cross for us, where he made atonement for our sins. Number seven, the Feast of Tabernacles, which again will be fulfilled when Israel is in the land. So, those are the feasts, those are the convocations, the assemblies that would occur every year. He begins in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And strictly speaking, the Sabbath was not a feast day. It occurred every week, not every year. And it was not a feast, it was a set time. The Israelites were to set aside one day a week, the Sabbath, to worship God and to do no work. And this weekly Sabbath also looked forward to the rest that Christians have in Christ. We rest in him because we have forgiveness and eternal life through his finished work on the cross. 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. And the details of this Passover were given in Exodus chapter 12. You may recall that God instructed Israel to slay a lamb down in Egypt and to put its blood on the doorpost of their house. When they did, the death angel that killed the firstborn in Egypt passed over them. So the blood of the lamb delivered God's people. And it was a picture of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world? Verse 6, And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And this feast is closely aligned with the Passover. In fact, its historical origin is directly connected with the Passover. You had the Passover, and then the very next day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. And as I said, this pictured the fellowship that we can have with God, and only with God when our sins are forgiven, through the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we can have fellowship with him, if we have no sin in our life, if we repent and confess of our sins, which is what leaven is a picture of. 14. Actually, verse 9. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you are come into the land which I give to you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." And this was very important. Very important. When Israel entered the land and planted their crop, they were to watch for the first ripe stalks to come up. And they were to cut them down, bundle them together, and bring them to the tabernacle for the priest to offer to God. It was to be offered on the first day of the week. This is the first fruits. This feast pointed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised on the first day, and he is also called the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits, and we Christians are the complete harvest to follow. As Jesus was raised, so we will be raised bodily, physically, never to die again. You look at the resurrection of Christ, you see the first fruits of the general resurrection. It's a wonderful study. Verse 12, "And you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet savor, and a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin." And verse 14, "And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." The new crop of grain could not be used until after this offering was waved before the Lord God, the Feast of the First Fruits. Verse 15, "And you shall count to you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even to the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal or grain offering to the Lord." So 50 days after the offering of the first fruits was the day of Pentecost, and it always occurred on the first day of the week. Pentecost pointed to the birth of the church. 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the church was born. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So it's just amazing how these feasts were so prophetic and how they pictured the work and the person of Christ. 17, "You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord." And this wave offering during Pentecost was to include leaven. And this points to the fact that there is sin in the visible church. We're redeemed by the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But obviously we're not perfect in practice. Verse 18, "And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burned offering to the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor to the Lord." Verse 19, "Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs, and they shall be holy to the Lord for the priests." And all the Levitical offerings were either a picture of the person of Christ or the work of Christ. All of them, all of the offerings were to be offered at Pentecost, because believers are partakers of all the benefits of Christ's person and work. And that's when the church came into being. That was the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. Believers were entered into the church at that point. And just as Jesus, or just as all the offerings pointed to Christ and were fulfilled in Christ, so that's why all the offerings were made on that particular feast, because we have them all in Jesus. Verse 21, "And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." Pentecost was a holy day of rest. Verse 22, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make a clean riddance of the corners of your field when you reap, neither shall you gather any gleaning of your harvest. You shall leave them to the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." First fruits and Pentecost occurred during the barley and wheat harvests, and they were to be times of celebration. But their celebrating should not distract God's people from their responsibility to take care of the poor. Verse 23, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets were blown on the first day of every month. But the ones blown on the first of the seventh month were very special. This was the Feast of Trumpets. No work was to be done. There was a sacred assembly, and special offerings were made to God. You know, trumpets are connected with judgment in Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, Jesus talked about that. And they're also connected with the moving of Israel toward the Promised Land. Verse 26, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Verse 28, "And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." This day was very somber, the Day of Atonement. The details were given already in chapter 16. But in addition to the command for a sacred assembly and the command to deny oneself, all work, not just occupational work, but all work was forbidden. This is the one day of the year that the Israelites were commanded to fast. Verse 29, "For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work." You shall do no manner of work. Afflicting yourself probably included, no doubt included, fasting and other penitential exercises, such as wearing sackcloth, which is a very rough, uncomfortable cloth that people wore when they were mourning. And this was to be a day of mourning for sins. Verse 31, last part of it, God says, "It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Verse 32, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So three times God says, you shall afflict your souls. The Day of Atonement, when the high priest made atonement for the sins of the people that had been committed the previous year. There was a time of mourning and repentance. 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So a few days after the Day of Atonement was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was to be a memorial of Israel's days of wandering in the wilderness. And it also functioned as a thanksgiving feast at the close of the fall fruit harvest. Verse 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon its day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. So God reminds his people that these festivals included offerings, which were in addition to the regular weekly and monthly offerings that the people brought. 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Just sort of like rugged shelters. 43. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Verses 37 and 38 were a parenthesis. And here the subject again, here in verses 39 through 44, the subject again is the Feast of Tabernacles. And this feast reminded God's people of their wilderness wanderings when they dwelt in tents. And according to Zechariah, it's going to be an important feast in the millennium. How God's going to work that out exactly, we're not sure. But that's what the Bible teaches.